And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. KCAW's Catherine Rose continues her assignment in Japan this week, where she's looking into the industry and culture of herring. Rose recently visited Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo and met with a vendor who sells sakura from Alaska.
This is KCAW reporter Catherine Rose, and I am at Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo. Unlike Toyosu Market, this one is mostly open air, and it is just packed with people. Some of them are picking up groceries, but many people here walking up and down the aisles are actually tourists who've come to admire the unparalleled variety of seafood, maybe grab a skewer of Wagyu steak topped with uni or some candied strawberries. But I'm here with anthropologist Dr. Shingo Hamada, and we are looking for herring eggs. There are two businesses in the market that specialize in fish eggs, and we didn't have any luck at the first stall. But at the second shop, Maruta Shokuin, we found a couple of small bags of eggs that the owner says are from Sitka. The sakura is smaller than the herring eggs from northern Japan. It even has a reddish tint to it. The seller says that's because they're unbleached. The Kazunoko section only makes up a small corner of his shop. They're not a very popular item most of the year. I ask him how often he eats them.
Yeah, it's a Japanese custom that we eat herring egg on the New Year's Day, so I eat it once a year for sure on the New Year's Day. So sometimes we, you know, I eat it, but generally speaking, you know, just I eat it only on the New Year's Day.
He says he'll have more herring eggs from Alaska later in the year after the commercial fisheries happen. But he says when he started selling fish 60 years ago, all of the herring eggs available were from Alaska or Canada. And now he can get Kazunoko from Hokkaido. That's where we're headed to next.
That was KCAW's Catherine Rose reporting from Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo, Japan. Rose will be sharing more stories from her travels over the next week. Her trip is a project of KCAW and the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. The fate of Juneau lawmakers' bipartisan education funding package is uncertain. If Governor Dunleavy signs it today, it would include the largest per student dollar increase in funding in the last 6 years. But that money doesn't pay for building, maintenance, repairs, or construction. And as KYUK's Emily Schwing reports, Alaska's rural public schools are in desperate need.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Madeline Aguillard. I'm the superintendent for the Kuspuk School District.
Aguillard was recently in Juneau to talk about the impacts of lacking funding in schools she oversees on the upper Kuskokwim River.
We don't have things such as advanced foreign language, music, library. We actually built a school without a library because we know we can't staff it. We can't afford it. When we're talking about making cuts, we're talking about cutting kindergarten teachers, third grade teachers, core academic teachers. We're not talking about cutting band and fun things. That's the reality.
Aguillard's district includes Sleepmute, where the school is at risk of a catastrophic structural failure. Two other schools in her district have signs of water damage, moldy walls, and serious electrical heating and ventilation problems. And this situation isn't unique to the upper Kuskokwim River.
For the record, my name is Terry Walker, superintendent.
Walker oversees more than a dozen schools in the Northwest Arctic Borough School District. That includes one in the village of Deering, roughly 30 miles south of the Arctic Circle.
You know, we've got a school right now that in that 20 below west winds, the classroom can't get more than 50 degrees, so the kids have to move into the gym to hold classes. You know, of course, several of our schools have outdated heating controls, outdated fire panels, and our teacher housing. Gotta watch where you walk because your foot's gonna fall through the floor if you step, you know, in a certain area. In our schools, the floors are stapled down.
I would say that we're really in a state of need.
Dina Bishop is the commissioner of the state's Department of Education and Early Development, DEED.
I don't think presently our system for capital investment into our schools is where it needs to be. It's just not. And I just see some inconsistencies, and by far rural Alaska to me exponentially out surpasses the needs in urban areas.
In a lot of rural communities, there's no tax base to fund school construction. Districts can apply for state funding through DEED's Capital Improvement Program. There's a months-long scoring process to rank applications. Two lists, one for construction and one for major maintenance projects, are released each January. The number of projects that get funded depends on how much money legislators decide to put into the program each year. Sleep Mute School's been on the major maintenance list for over a decade.
Obviously, with so many needs out there, it's really not working.
Alaska used to be flush with cash. Revenue from oil production helped fund education statewide. But Bishop says those days are long gone.
We have to get together as communities, as tribal organizations, as school districts, and really understand when our state system supports small schools, upwards of like of only 10 kids in a school, that is honoring a community. But the same token, it's unsustainable to have $50 million go to 10 students in 40 years you build it. I mean, think about the unsustainability of that in the long run, especially since the revenue isn't there.
Bishop says with fewer revenue dollars coming to the state, Alaska needs to get creative about coordinating across agencies. For example, if the Department of Transportation has a village project for a road or a runway, can DEED take advantage of the equipment they might have available for work at a school?
If you're there for one thing and, you know, getting supplies and contractors there, could we think, just more efficiently?
Even so, Bishop says ultimately her department can't fund every project on its capital improvement list.
You know, the levers that I can pull aren't levers for funding. I don't create the money. The legislature creates that. But we can certainly support policy that would help in the long run really support schools as their needs come up.
Bishop doesn't have specific recommendations for a shift in policy, but CJ McCormick does. He's a state representative for a large portion of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. He frames school conditions in rural Alaska as an equity issue.
What really would solve the problem is a dedicated fund separate from the rest of the state with metrics that are more germane to Bush Alaska.
Without a change in policy, McCormick says kids in rural Alaska aren't getting a safe, healthy, and quality public education.
I get asked all the time as a representative, what kind of changes do you need to make to your district for like economic development? And I'm like, fund education. Like, we have brilliant people, and I really strongly believe with adequately funded education in our districts, like, Bush Alaska would be a force to be reckoned with.
As the debate about the financial sustainability of Alaska's rural public schools continues in the capital, hundreds of kids off the road system will keep going to school in deteriorating buildings because there is no alternative. In Juneau, I'm Emily Schwing.
It's finally starting to feel like spring in Juneau, with temperatures hovering in the mid-40s right now. And with that spring warming, we can also expect some spring rain. Rain showers are expected to pick up heading into the evening tonight and continue through the day tomorrow. During the night, that rain might mix with snow, but total accumulations are expected to be low, between 1 and 2 inches tomorrow. That's pretty much what you can expect for the weekend. Mild temperatures, but cloudy skies and some light rain showers. That's all from the KTOO Newsroom. For more stories, you can check out ktoo.org.